Unbrown's problem. He's about ready to blow our whole gig. And the nod had to be, well, yep. You know, it's like in, was it King Henry II? Will someone please rid me of this,
troublesome priest. Yes, right. Yep.
So. I think it probably went something like that. And, what I think happened is, that, and this is a...
Views expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom. All right. Welcome, friends of freedom, to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show. I'm Brent Duncan. We're broadcasting across, we're broadcasting from the studios of Radio Liberty overlooking the Monterey Bay. This is an area that has been overrun basically by a globalist collectivist government. We are the few, the proud, the stubborn Santa Cruz County counterculture. My message to locals is that if you value your private property, family autonomy, unalienable rights, and security, you'll kick out the globalist collectivists, the corrupt collectivists who have operated unopposed in this county for more than 30 years. And my message to America, those of you who are listening over the internet and through our affiliate stations across Radio Liberty Network, is to take heed to what's happened here in Santa Cruz County and don't let this happen to you. What we're seeing is the policies, procedures, and laws that have been enacted by local government and non-government organizations in the name of diversity, community, and earth are diminishing individual liberty, degrading ecology, and threatening human life and happiness in towns across the nation. You've likely already experienced some of the consequences of these policies that are approaching full implementation with little public discourse or voter input. Tell me if you've heard any of the following, or think if you've heard any of the following, like restricted freedom of mobility as you sit for hours in gridlock traffic, mounting limitations on or even loss of your private property, an engineered housing crisis that you're being told must be solved with your money by those who caused it. Loss of your parental authority to a government education system that seems to emphasize social indoctrination over education. Transitioning of your water resources to regional control by non-elected bureaucrats with subsequent engineered shortages. heavy influence of international and non-government organizations over local policy at the expense of representative democracy. Well, you know, you're not alone in recognizing these and other symptoms of our diminishing freedoms. And one of the specific symptoms that we are going to be going over tonight will be along the lines of family autonomy. We're going to be talking about an important education issue. Specifically, we're going to be talking about how indoctrination systems fail to prepare children for it, and how government education system is co-opting parental authority. We have a guest who will be with us tonight from an organization called Honest Education, and we will be discussing some very controversial things that you might be hearing coming up in the news. Some proposals to actually get our kids out of the government system have been coming up, popping up over the last few years over talk radio circuits, and now there are mainstream religious bodies who are considering whether to have their membership pull all of their children out of the government systems. We'll be back after these brief messages to start into our topic right away. While some of our affiliate stations take a commercial break, let me take a few moments to tell the rest of you a bit about Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a freedom policy center that celebrates the principles of self-governance and individual liberty which inspired the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. It's a group of individuals who advance the freedom of all by promoting and strengthening the practice of constitutional administration in local, state, and national government. The Freedom 21 Santa Cruz mission is to advance the principles of freedom to individuals, community, and government through public discourse, community outreach, and grassroots education programs. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic. Objectives of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz and its participants include the following. Focus public attention on the value of the freedoms guaranteed to Americans by the Constitution of the United States of America, and encourage individual and community interest in protecting those freedoms. Provide opportunities for political discourse among organization membership and the community. Promote and strengthen government responsiveness to the principles of freedom. Educate the public about local, national, and international threats to individual freedom and the U.S. Constitutional Republic. Invite Americans to unite against the advance of international collectivist movements that cause poverty, oppression, and a degraded earth. And to create a model for successfully promoting and ensuring U.S. constitutional government in a local community. To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. Tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888 24 Liberty. That's
888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
All right, we're back. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio from the Monterey Bay in California. I'm broadcasting across the country over Radio Liberty and also through the around the world through the internet, radioliberty.com. We are talking tonight, we are on a family autonomy issue. We're talking about education. We started talking about how the government education system is co-opting parental authority and lay the groundwork for our guests who will be coming in shortly. What we're finding, and those of you who have listened to us, listened to our show before, will know that I believe that many parents have allowed a government-mandated education system to co-opt parental authority over our children. The consequences of this are that parents remain responsible for the children, but the state is basically gaining increased authority over how children are educated and how they're raised. Now, this leads to a weakened family unit and is contributing to a degraded society. The consequences of this is that an increasing number of children are not being adequately prepared for advanced education or employment. This is limiting their ability to contribute positively towards society through properly exercising their individual sovereignty. This also contributes to the degradation of society by building a self-perpetuating dependency class of people who are unable, unwilling, or unprepared to exercise their individual sovereignty. Now, my personal position is that parents are primarily responsible for the education of their children, that as parents, we must exercise constant vigilance to regain and maintain authority over educational choice. And also that preparing our children to take full advantage of the opportunities available in a free society is a key responsibility of parenthood. And to successfully exercise these responsibilities, parents must be able to retain authority over their children. As government schools and agencies attempt to exercise increasing authority over children and thereby our families, we as parents must exercise constant vigilance to protect our family autonomy. Which brings me to some really interesting news stories that I want to make reference to here before we go on to the next segment. First, pulling from the New York Times on May 19th, 2004, an article by Samuel G. Friedman, which is titled Black Flight to Private Schools is Growing. And it starts with a scenario where Miss Jones, who is a parent of two elementary school children and a teacher herself, explains to her school-aged children why they cannot attend the public school. And she says, "The reason you cannot attend the public school where I teach is because I'm your mother and I know what's good for you," she explains, "and the public school won't be." Friedman starts pointing out that the reason why Miss Jones and many people in New York and in the government school systems are choosing to put their kids in the government schools is because they feel that the schools are threatening their family autonomy, that their children are not getting good educations, that their children are not taught proper history, that the history of the United States is taught in the school is basically the history of the victims of the United States, that there are many social interests, social predators, and sexual interests who are controlling the classrooms. And Friedman says that when white families pull their children out of big city public schools, everybody pays attention and debates whether the cause is educational failure, racial bias, or some other factor. Now, he says that when African-American parents do the same thing, hardly anyone notices or seems to care, as if blacks are just supposed to accept whatever the neighborhood school dishes up, good, mediocre, or abysmal. He says that there's an increasing number of minorities around the nation who are choosing to take their kids out of the schools. In the case of Ms. Whitfield, she spends $900 every month, which is the equivalent of 2 weeks of her take-home pay to get her kids into the public schools, into the private schools that's so important to her. And Friedman points out that minority enrollment has risen from one-tenth in 1970, in private schools has gone from one-tenth in 1970 to one-quarter in 2004. And it points out that leaders in public education would be wise to pay attention to why a stable, devout, and upwardly mobile segment of the minority communities are deserting the public school systems. And goes on, we'll get back to this a little bit more. Let's go on to another issue. You probably, if you listen to talk radio, you may have heard either Dr. Dobson or Dr. Laura admonish parents in California to get their kids out of school, get their kids out of the government schools. Well, now there has recently been a proposal to or a resolution proposed to the Southern Baptist Convention, which calls on the millions of members of the Baptist denomination to pull their kids out of government schools and either homeschool them or send them to Christian schools. And it ends up that it doesn't seem to be just a Christian or a quote unquote conservative issue, that this is an issue that's going across religions, whether people are Christian or agnostic or atheist. That people seem to be abandoning the public schools with reckless abandon. To talk about this issue with us, we have Alan Schaefer, the Vice President of Volunteer Services for Honest Education. Alan, are you with us tonight? Alan is not with us yet, so we will go on and continue to discuss these issues. All right. So what we have with this Christian education resolution from the Baptist Convention admonishing the members to pull their children out of the government schools, the resolution asks all officers and members of the Southern Baptist Convention and churches associated with it to remove their children from the government schools and see to it that they receive a thoroughly Christian education from the glory of God, the good of Christ Church, and the strength of their own commitment. Now going on to our guest, who I understand is with us now. Alan is the Vice President of Vice President of Volunteer Services for Honest Education. Alan, are you with us here?
Yes, Ben.
Okay, Alan, thank you very much. We juggled a couple of calls there. Glad to have you with us. Welcome.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about what Honest Education is all about?
Well, first of all, Honest Education essentially is as over against schooling. Education and schooling, many cases can be entirely different things. And essentially the assertion of Honest Education is that Honest Education becomes possible when parents' beliefs and important heritage or values about the purpose and origins and destiny of human beings is able to be addressed with full ardor and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that possibility exists where parents and students and teachers are free to address those questions, and it does not exist in situations where those issues are hampered by restrictions or law or conflicts.
And so what does that mean to the children?
Essentially, a child is a sponge, a learning machine. They're just amazing in their ability to absorb from their environment and process by virtue of imitation and play. If in their environment the most important questions are essentially choked off by the fact that too many people disagree with the answers or on what the answers should be, such that by law they're not allowed to state certain beliefs or conclusions about the meaning or purpose of life or the purpose of human destiny or what ethically one should do, and not able to address these questions of, say, from classic literature or philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a dishonest education, which kids will perceive as the unimportance, the vast unimportance of the most important questions of life. And they will then begin to shut down in their ability to process learning and life through the lens of adequate answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they will look for answers in other places, in technologies and manipulation and successes of a material nature, or in even in depths of failure, which have become so rampant among kids today.
All right, Alan, we're with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. We are asking the question tonight whether we should consider taking our children out of the government schools. We will be back right after these messages.
As a listener of tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show, you have exclusive access to our online audience participation center at freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Here are just some of the value-added features you'll get by logging on while you're tuned in. Get free access to the research and articles that have contributed to tonight's show. See an important multimedia presentation titled The Philosophy of Liberty. Email the host with your comments. Get special discounts on featured books like the ever-popular Pocket Constitution. Register to receive a free subscription to AdvancedBulletin.net, which provides commentary and analysis on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. So get more. Log on while you're tuned in and advance freedom at freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Join your friends in freedom at the 5th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference at John Esquaga's Nugget Hotel in Reno, Nevada, this July 21st through 24th. You only have to put down a few dollars to get into this game, but you're virtually guaranteed a jackpot of great speakers and fun events. Here are just a few of the scheduled speakers. Congressman Ron Paul, the top defender of the Constitution in the House of Representatives. Judge Roy Moore, a champion of the principles upon which our nation was founded. Presidential candidates Michael Perutka of the Constitutional Party, Gary Nolan of the Libertarian Party, and it's looking like there might be a surprise visit from a candidate from one of the major parties. But you're going to have to go to the conference registration website to find out more about that. Other notables include Helen Shenowith Haig, former congresswoman from Idaho and champion of the principles of freedom. Niger Innes, the national spokesman for the Congress of Racial Equality. Michael Kaufman, Tom DeWeese, Henry Lamb, Michael Chapman, Michael Shaw, Floy Lilly, Sylvia Allen, Paul Dreesen, David Rothbart, and hey, look at that. They even have my name on the speaker list. Freedom 21 has asked me, Brent Duncan, to work with Michael Shaw to present a workshop on how to organize an effective freedom advocacy group in your community. Here's a tip: individual initiative, local action, and national impact. Freedom 21 has negotiated a group discount with John Esquaga's Nugget for conference attendees, but I understand there's limited space available and that it's going fast. So act quickly if you want to join your friends in freedom at the 5th Annual Freedom 21 Conference in Reno this July 21st through 24th. For conference information, log on to www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio and select the Freedom 21 Conference button. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio and select Freedom 21 Conference. If you don't have web access, feel free to call Freedom 21 Santa Cruz at 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232.
Well, we sure hope to see you in Reno. Meanwhile, spread the word, advance the cause of freedom, and have a little fun. Welcome back to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. This is Brent Duncan. Our topic tonight is, we're asking the question, should we consider taking our children out of the government school system? Has it reached a point of critical mass where so many people who are able to make a change in the schools have actually pulled out that we may be damaging our children if we keep them in the government schools? But before going on, there is a theme song that we have here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. It's been contributed by Barbecue Bob that I would like to have Maestro cue up for us now and go.
Education and schooling, turning out legions of pumped up fools, collectivist thought and talk, and the free. Gonna take and crush young minds and change them. By the time they've rearranged them, they won't even know how to spell intent. Day, so take it with you. Here's the Prozac, and don't forget your Ritalin. Learn today's lesson well, class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're setting the bar real low. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. We gotta turn the page, give them a real education. Get them off some medication. No, they won't learn much about history, about the republic or democracy. But they'll believe the earth is dying, yes siree. The magic indoctrination. Please cooperate in the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family.
You're listening to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio on Radio Liberty.
They're letting their bodies, joining up with a gang. Young sociopaths going out with a bang. They won't need a Bill of Rights or a Constitution. Cause they're being set up just to be knocked down. Classrooms full of convicts and clowns. Here's what your money bought you. So much of a revolution. Things aren't what they seem. It's the American nightmare, the end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. Cause it's not about education, it's called behavior modification. Collectivist thought and work in the home we pray. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. Gotta turn the page, give them a real education. It's a school day in the USA. You gotta know about what it means to be living in the land of liberty.
All right. Thank you, Barbecue Bob. I'm Brent Duncan. This is Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. We are talking with Alan Schaefer with Honest Education, and we are asking the question whether it's time for us to consider removing our children from the school. Alan, let me bring you up to speed with a couple of the issues we were talking about before we had you on. We were making reference to an article called Black Flight to Private Schools is Growing, and also the Christian Education Resolution from the Baptist Convention, calling on Baptists to take their children out of the schools, and also have the secular case for homeschooling, taking your kids out of the school, by Diana West, where she found that it was troubled when her elementary school students were getting lessons from Christopher Columbus through the eyes of a native girl who peered through a palm frond at the awkward Spaniard setting foot on the New World, only to laugh at their funny clothes. And she called it the klutzing of Columbus. And I found that a lot of the things were going on in the schools just weren't appropriate, that her children were being indoctrinated and not educated, and she, as a secularist, decided to pull her children out and have them homeschooled. We are going to be coming straight to this issue after this network break. This is Brent Duncan with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. Thank you for listening.
You might be wondering if Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a liberal or a conservative organization. Are they left or right, Republican or Democrat? But you'll find that none of these one-dimensional labels applies to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, nor to many of its participants. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz dialogue doesn't take place in a left-right, liberal-conservative dialectic, but on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic.
To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Do you think you're alone in recognizing that freedom is diminishing in your town and across the nation? Well, you're not alone. And there's plenty you can do to advance freedom. You can help have a major impact on the growing freedom movement by participating in the development of a plan for advancing freedom in the 21st century. The purpose of this document is to create a framework that allows individuals and groups to easily organize to advance freedom in their towns. By helping to draft the plan, you can share your insights with other Friends of Freedom into how we can all effectively address the issues that threaten the life, liberty, and happiness of ourselves and our posterity. To help draft a plan for advancing freedom in the 21st century, simply point your browser to www.freedom21santacruz.net/plan. When you visit freedom21santacruz.net/plan, you'll be given the opportunity to see what others think needs to be done individually, locally, and nationally to advance freedom. And you'll be given the opportunity to submit your own issues and commentary. If accepted, your contribution will be submitted to a group of national delegates at the Freedom 21 National Conference in Reno this July. It won't cost you anything to participate, but by taking individual initiative, you can join with others to advance freedom in the 21st century today. Help draft a plan for advancing freedom in the 21st century at www.freedom21santacruz.net/plan. That's freedom21santacruz.net/plan.
Learn much about history, about the republic or democracy. Don't believe the earth is dying, yes, sirree. Death
and magic indoctrination. Please cooperate in the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family.
Thank you, Barbecue Bob, for that good setup. Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio, coming to you from the Monterey Bay. I am with Alan Schaefer. You still with us, Alan?
Yes.
All right. But when we left, we were talking about how people from all religions, all philosophies, all races seem to be recognizing or seem to be concluding that government education just isn't working, and they're choosing alternatives. Say, for example, the Washington Times columnist, Diana West, in the Wall Street Journal, she concluded that school isn't necessarily the place for learning. And that for Baptists and humanists alike, she calls herself a humanist, may be what is most inspiring of all. Now, I understand that your organization does have a position on the separation of school and state issue. Could you explain that to us a little bit?
Yes, it's our belief that in the end, the very best thing we can do for to promote honest education is to remove the government involvement from compulsory attendance and compulsory tax funding of education.
Wow, radical.
Yep, it's way down the road, but we have come to believe that the best vehicle toward that end is to promote individuals removing their children without waiting for permission from the government.
So, to what end? Isn't that going to actually? Let me ask. Why? So, are you proposing to eliminate government education?
In the end, that's our goal, and it is also our belief that it will happen when people, for their own good and for the good of their children, discover that they need to do that in order for their own children to be safe and well-educated. Enough people simply responding to the current dangers and obvious failures of the system as it is, without embracing the concept of full separation of school and state, would be sufficient to catalyze a collapse in the system. But we believe that the more people that understand the concept of why we got here in the first place and how, and historically that it is factually unavoidable to conclude that we were always going to get to this disaster where we are now, that those people will become so strong proponents to others that the word will spread that not only do we need to remove children for their own good and education, but for the good of the society in the end.
You know, let me share with you some personal experience. I actually over the Memorial Weekend, I was actually going through my personal journal, pulling out some excerpts so I could make sort of a history of, or a journal of, my daughter's life according to Daddy, because my daughter's 18, she's going off into the world, and I thought I'd give her a little present that is my recollections of her life as she lived it. And I look back to an entry in 1991 when we were getting ready to start sending our daughter to kindergarten. And my wife and I, we really wrestled over whether we should send our children to the government schools, because even back then, even before our kids were in it, we started recognizing that there were some serious problems with the government schools. And the path that we decided to take was that we would be very involved with our children every day that they were in the government schools. So we put them in the government schools. So we volunteered in the classrooms. We were always on campus. We read their textbooks. We recognized where there were certain indoctrinational elements that were taking place, and made sure that we were the counter indoctrinators, that we always discussed those issues in the home. And in the long run, now that our children, we have a child in high school and a child who in college. And they have, you know, through that process, they seem to have been very well prepared to address the issues that come at them in the nation. And so I look at how we handled it. We're very involved with our children, and
and hope that we did the right thing. But I look at what, say, the Baptists are saying, and say, other, and hear what you're saying about taking our children out of the government schools, and I have to ask whether I did something wrong by having my kids go to the government schools.
First of all, most of us at that time did not know what dangers lie in the schools and why they were there,
mm-hmm.
and we did the very earnest best that we could, and that is. There's nothing faulting that position. When knowledge comes that is inadequate, that putting them in and just simply saturating yourself in the process enough to counteract or counterbalance what's wrong, when you realize that that is not sufficient to achieve a well-educated, well-developed, formed character in your child, according to your understanding of that, then it becomes difficult to justify. And
mm-hmm.
for most of us, we're facing that difficult point now, if we have any awareness of what's really going on in the schools.
Yeah, here's a problem that I've seen, especially in the last few years, as I've personally become sort of an advocate for helping families advocate for their children who are in the government schools, because the reality is a lot of people just can't afford to have their kids in the public in private school, or they don't have the ability to homeschool their children, and so it becomes important for them to become very involved and to try to change the system from within the inside. But what ends up happening is the people who can do something or should do something have been pulling their children out en masse and leaving a very few behind. And it's become a very lonely battle in the government school systems, which is why I'm actually starting to listen to what you guys are saying and thinking, have we hit a critical mass that would make me suddenly become an advocate for separating school and state? There's some tough questions that we need to address here. Isn't it a vital purpose of education to help build a society or help children to become trained to, or excuse me, doesn't it serve a vital purpose in building a society to participate in a democratic republic? Isn't that an important part of education, and why shouldn't the government be involved with that?
Well, first of all, the government that we now have and hold dear, that gives us the safeguards and protections of our freedom that we have become accustomed to, was created in an environment in which there were no such things as public schools. It was birthed between the mid-1600s and the mid-1800s, in a situation where there was no tax funding and no compulsion involved in the process of education,
mm-hmm.
and where a large percentage of its members did not attend what we would consider an adequate school. And yet, de Tocqueville clearly praised the United States for their incredible literacy, which was higher than anyone else in the world at that time,
mm-hmm.
before there was such a thing as a public school.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it has not been required for the birthing of the greatest republic the world has ever known, and it is not required today in order to achieve a higher level of character formation and of academic ability and of achievement in worthwhile human production or contribution. It's not necessary.
Hmm. Yeah, and what's happening, I'd say, going back to this New York Times article, Black Flight to Private Schools is Growing, by Samuel G. Friedman, to which we had referred before. They talk about the results that are happening when the parents are pulling their children out of the government schools. They have been saying that, say, the results are basically identifying a fourth grade math in a fourth grade class with their math and reading tests, that more than 90% of the students in these private schools, minority students in these private schools, meet or exceed state standards, while barely one third do so in the nearby public schools.
The graduates in the private schools go on to boarding, Catholic and elite public schools, and they often win scholarships. While in the eighth grade, these students are required to collect information about colleges. And the assumption, not the hope, is that they will attend college. And these schools actually emphasize achievement. Tell me about this thing with emphasizing achievement. Is that something that should be happening in schools and that's not happening in government schools?
There's a difficulty with doing it in a compulsory situation. Let me just make a shift over to a fallacy of language and logic that has become prevalent today. Mm-hmm. We've basically ripped the guts out of much language, but there's one particular phrase that I think tells a great deal about our situation in government compulsory schooling. And that is that most students have on their curriculum, in their syllabi someplace, at least half the students, have run into a situation where they are being required or are being expected to engage in some form of voluntarism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about this for just a second, it becomes very evident that that is what we would have to call mandatory voluntarism.
Yes.
That's a contradiction in terms,
mm-hmm.
and an indecency to any intelligent mind.
It's called compulsory service. And what does that equal? Yeah. When you're forced to serve, what is that?
That's a servile state.
Yeah, it's slavery, is it not?
That's correct.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not possible to avoid such a situation when you have not only a handout, but a legally compelled attendance to a handout school. It is not possible to engage the highest and best conditions or motives behind learning, which is the acquisition of an education.
Mm-hmm.
Education is always something that an individual gets for themselves, acquires. Now, we may give them many tools and many bumps in the right direction, and the very first best people in this whole earth to give those bumps in the right direction are the parents. However, the acquisition of it is a process only the individual can actually accomplish. So the idea that we can put it in their empty heads, this is Skinnerian mastery learning
mm-hmm.
technique, that we fill their empty heads, that we condition them, that we put them in a context or a situation in which we can make an expectation of a result out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
That has to end up being a brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
Not the acquisition of an education.
Yeah,
back to the unfortunate mandatory voluntarism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to give the genuine article in a condition like that.
Yeah, it ends up becoming indoctrination, not education. And what we've seen locally is we have a lot of teachers who promote activism in the classroom and don't even come close to being able to develop an academic environment. I really like your point about the compulsory service, because that is an issue that we're actually dealing with here in Santa Cruz. I think it's epidemic in the California school system, and it's probably showing up in schools around the nation. Say just reading from our local high school plan that our school is, the staff is investigating a plan for a school-wide exit project that will require the students to do a 40 hours of community service before they can graduate from high school. Right now they have it set up so it doesn't matter how if you're an athlete, you're the star athlete, you cannot get a varsity letter unless you do some sort of community service. If you are a 4.5 GPA student, you cannot be on the honor roll unless you do some kind of community service. You're right. I look at these and I see that these seem to be very problematic because, well, for one thing, that it's requiring is we're setting up a government mandated service program that's going to be extremely expensive. It's redundant to dozens, if not hundreds, of voluntary service projects out there, Bottom line is, I'm saying I thoroughly agree with you. I have a whole list of things here that I've been dealing with on that specific issue, and I think it's important. I think personally think it's very important that we do community service. But to be forced to do service actually eliminates the primary benefits of doing that service. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. In a private situation, you can select it. In a public situation where it's basically been handed down, it saps the meaning from the activity by its very nature. So kids go out in the world and are on their own to develop their own motivation, to figure out their own path, and they haven't a concept of some foundation in human existence or in human history or in human purpose or in man's relationship to God from which to decide to do this. Instead, they wait for someone to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is always going to be a lesser motivation.
Right. We have a caller, Ron from Richland, Washington. Ron, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am, Brent.
What can we do? You're with Brent Duncan and Alan Schaefer.
Well, I just want to let you know that a number of people are aware of the foibles of the government schools. I know of two public school teachers who had homeschooled their kids. I have my daughter in a Christian school, and she was on a basketball team for the Christian middle school, and they were playing one of the local Catholic middle schools, and the athletic director of we have two public high schools in our town, the athletic director of one had his daughter in the Christian school with my daughter, and the athletic director of the other public school and his daughter going to this Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys right in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew something, I guess, that nobody else knew. And they were willing to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't have any statistics on it, but I do know a lot of people who are teachers in the public school system who would never have their children go into the public school systems. You bring up a fascinating point.
I heard that the public school teachers, that's the profession with the highest percentage who send their kids to a private school.
Well, it seems like they might know something that we don't.
Yes. And it's the peer group that they're in with, it's not always very savory.
What do you mean?
That in the public schools.
Mm-hmm. In what way is it not savory?
Well, they're... the inmates run the asylum, number one. Number two, the ones who are the most vocal are the ones who have the least parental supervision.
All right, Ron?
Those are the ones who tend to leave.
Ron?
I just want to give my 2 cents. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. We'll be right back.
The agenda is set. Santa Cruz County government has determined that your bumper-to-bumper commute on Highway 1 is a good idea. Your car is an environmental hazard, and they have a plan to clean it up. I'll be right back.
You are listening to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio on Radio Liberty.
In September of 1997, the final draft of a very ambitious 100-page document was submitted locally to the leaders of Santa Cruz County government. The Board of Supervisors on the county level and the mayors and their councils on the city level were all presented with and asked to endorse a policy planning guide called Santa Cruz County Local Agenda 21, a Sustainable Community Action Plan, our agenda for the 21st century. Unfortunately, for those of us who live here, this plan was endorsed. As a matter of fact, it was not only endorsed, it was adopted, embraced, and is now in a full implementation phase by county planning and government. If you are listening on your car radio, crawling in gridlock over Highways 1 and 17, you are experiencing the very real-world application of Agenda 21. Those stop-and-go bottlenecks that you're dealing with every day are intentional. They are designed to socially engineer you away from your car and into alternative modes of transportation. The fact that Santa Cruz County government expects traffic congestion to become so intolerable that within a few short years, their more suitable, non-polluting modes of transportation will be used is now clear and understood by many. Their desired state is written in Santa Cruz County Local Agenda 21. It says,
public subsidies are to be shifted from funding highway construction, road maintenance, policing traffic, and publicly funded parking to developing and promoting transportation alternatives.
One of the many goals in the Agenda 21 chapter on transportation is
increase public awareness about personal and societal transportation choices, including walking, bicycling, rail, and bus use.
How effective are we at shopping and carrying home groceries while pedaling our bicycles, riding a new coastal train, or navigating from one county bus transfer to another? To the average American family of four, good luck. Enough of this nonsense. We need to widen Highway 1, and we need to begin construction now. If we allow the planners to do nothing, the people of Santa Cruz County will suffer, in that more and more time will be spent commuting to and from work, school, and everyday errands. That dividend pays off as less and less time spent with loved ones. In the pursuit of happiness, this is Florence Braden.
Wake up, folks. Things aren't what they seem. It's the American nightmare, the end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. Because it's not about education. It's about behavior modification. Collectivists taught at work and hope to play. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. Gotta turn the page to a real education.
All right. This is Brent Duncan on Radio Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio on Radio Liberty, broadcasting from the Monterey Bay. I am talking with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. Their website is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, is it honested.org?
Honested.com.
Excuse me, honested.com. And I would encourage our listeners to go to honested.com. And while you're at it, if you want to find some the articles that we're referring to tonight and some of the research that went into creating the show, and also links to honested.com and to other value added features from the show, feel free to go to www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Alan, what are some of the alternatives that you suggest to government education?
First of all, the range of alternatives is staggering, and we hope to see a mushrooming of other alternatives as time goes on. But the existing alternatives fall into a couple of basic groups. The largest division basically would be homeschooling and private schools.
Mm-hmm.
Among private schools, the largest division would be secular and religious.
Mm-hmm.
And among private school ventures or hybrids between, there are a number of very interesting models which have tremendous possibilities. I'll just highlight a couple. One would be that many years ago, before schooling was mass and compulsory, there were what were called dame schools. A mother may have had some children of her own and been in the process of educating them, had the great benefit and privilege of having enough books for themselves that they decided to share out and take on kids for hire to learn. Of course, this was a great opportunity for those kids. So these were called dame schools. They were produced, around dining room tables.
Mm-hmm.
Another great example is a university model school, originated in Texas, which essentially uses a seminar style of learning based on a few days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger kids only go Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then when they flip-flop into the middle school, high school ages, they go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So now the same group of teachers in the same building is teaching twice as many kids, and the parents are having a huge hand in the development of their kids' direction and education and character outside of the school hours.
Mm-hmm.
This has proved to be a highly successful model that has a lot of potential in reducing costs.
Wow. We have another caller coming in from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Roger, are you with us? Oh, we lost the caller. Roger, if you could please call us back. We were run out of time there anyway, Roger. We'll pick you up right at the beginning of the next hour. What you're proposing seems to be exactly the opposite of what we're seeing coming from our federal government right now. We have this No Child Left Behind legislation, which basically says that it sets standards, minimum standards that every student in the United States should achieve or work towards. What do you think about the No Child Left Behind, federal government influencing education, and how does that work with what you're proposing?
First of all, I won't say for myself. I'll simply quote a couple of teachers I've spoken with to say that it's the most ridiculous thing they've ever seen, and it's caused them to have to jump through all the wrong hoops in their educational career, derailing them from the real job at hand, which is to give children the opportunity to access true educational materials.
And we'll pick up on that right after these messages.
The views expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host... Views expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Take your lithium, and here's the Prozac, and don't forget your Ritalin. Learn today's lesson well, class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're setting the bar real low. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. Gotta turn the page. much about history, about the republic or democracy. I don't believe the earth is dying, yes siree. Death and magic, indoctrination, please cooperate in the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family.
Welcome back to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. This is Brent Duncan. For those of you who just joined us on Radio Liberty, we are asking the question, is it time for us to consider taking our children out of the government school system? We are talking with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. And we're actually going to go straight to our caller, Roger, in Allentown, Pennsylvania, who has been very patient. Thank you, Roger. Are you with us?
Yes, thanks. And bringing home Barbecue Bob, yes.
What do you think of that?
Oh, that's great.
he is, what a talented gentleman. He puts these songs together for us, and we just love it. It really livens up the show.
Yeah, stick a thumb in the eye of the dictatorship of the Educariot.
You know what? Laugh them out of influence.
Hey, I think right next door here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, may have had the dubious distinction of being the very first in the country to institute this oxymoronic compulsory volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about something like 10, 12 years at least. There's been two lawsuits, I believe, that have unfortunately failed. And while I don't think they have a prescribed list of approved volunteerisms, I somehow think that they'd find unsuitable volunteering for the NRA's gun safety training programs,
mm-hmm.
or quite possibly facilitating institutes the Constitution, for that matter. You know, the things about involuntary servitude and such.
That's an excellent point. It seems to become a recruiting ground for activists to promote the special interests of the teachers. We are here at Radio Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. We'll be right back.
While some of our affiliate stations take a commercial break, let me take a few moments to tell the rest of you a bit about Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a freedom policy center that celebrates the principles of self-governance and individual liberty which inspired the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. It's a group of individuals who advance the freedom of all by promoting and strengthening the practice of constitutional administration in local, state, and national government. The Freedom 21 Santa Cruz mission is to advance the principles of freedom to individuals, community, and government through public discourse, community outreach, and grassroots education programs. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. constitutional republic. Objectives of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz and its participants include the following. Focus public attention on the value of the freedoms guaranteed to Americans by the Constitution of the United States of America, and encourage individual and community interest in protecting those freedoms. Provide opportunities for political discourse among organization membership and the community. Promote and strengthen government responsiveness to the principles of freedom. Educate the public about local, national, and international threats to individual freedom and the U.S. Constitutional Republic. Invite Americans to unite against the advance of international collectivist movements that cause poverty, oppression, and a degraded earth. And to create a model for successfully promoting and ensuring U.S. constitutional government in a local community. To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. As a listener of tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show, you have exclusive access to our online audience participation center at freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Here are just some of the value-added features you'll get by logging on while you're tuned in. Get free access to the research and articles that have contributed to tonight's show. See an important multimedia presentation titled The Philosophy of Liberty. Email the host with your comments. Get special discounts on featured books like the ever-popular Pocket Constitution. Register to receive a free subscription to AdvancedBulletin.net, which provides commentary and analysis on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. So get more. Log on while you're tuned in and advance freedom at freedom21santacruz.net/radio.
All right, you're back to, with Brent Duncan on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. Before the break, we were talking with Roger. Roger, you were telling us about the compulsory volunteerism, the compulsory service programs that you have out there in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and lastly, I believe one of those two failed legal challenges, sadly, was a girl who, in fact, did excess of the hours requirements at the local hospital or whatever, and refused to fill out the form to validate this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very sad, Ben, and very encouraging that there are still some people who hold to their guns, stick to their principles, and God bless you all.
Yeah, did you have a comment on that, Alan?
Not particularly. I see that stuff all the time.
Yeah, I can tell you, I look at my own son, for example. He spent the last year volunteering one weekend a month in a leadership development program in preparation for a couple of weeks this next summer, where he is supposed to take a bunch of kids out into the wilderness and teach them how to survive and teach them leadership skills. And it's a wonderful volunteer program where not only is he learning these leadership skills, he's also doing these community service projects down in Monterey, around Monterey at the Presidio and the like. And Roger brought up a good point that since it's not something that the school buys into, since it's not a program that the school likes, they won't accept this service that my son is doing. That it's not along the lines of what they say he should be doing. So anyway, back to what we were discussing with. Thank you, Roger, for calling. We appreciate your participation. And now, when we left Alan, we were talking about the No Child Left Behind program and how that is influencing. Tell me about that. How does your system build, or how does your proposal fit in with No Child Left Behind?
Well, clearly it doesn't. The purpose of No Child Left Behind is to make some sort of an external governmental guarantee or system which assures this. There is an internal built-in system which virtually assures it, and that is called parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Parents do indeed overwhelmingly give good things to their children. There are always a few that do not. But there's significant evidence that that phenomena of deadbeat parents or irresponsible parents would be significantly reduced if parents were by nature necessarily had to be responsible for their own children's education.
Mm-hmm.
What we found in virtually every case when questionable parents have taken up the cause of homeschooling their kids or what have you, people that society would say are unfit, they raise the bar themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They become more able to do that project with their children, because it is their children.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, okay? No Child Left Behind is utterly, not only artificial, it's actually illegal.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government is not allowed to have a hand in education, and yet they've found ways to worm it in, and this is the most overarching and offensive of all of them. The concept, it's offensive intellectually,
mm-hmm.
the concept that you can actually put every single child in a hopper and consider them identical and force them through a mill, and that this is going to be an additional pressure on top of that the teacher's already shoulder, which they're going to succeed by implementing.
Mm-hmm.
They will actually be overburdened by the attempt to do it the way the federal government says for every child, rather than adapting to the individual needs of the child as any good teacher knows how to do.
Yeah, it is fascinating to look at how many different philosophies are opposed to this No Child Left Behind. And it's interesting, say even the teachers' unions are opposed to it because the minimum standards are too high and they can't meet them. We have organizations like EdWatch out in Minnesota who is opposed to No Child Left Behind because the standards are too low or just flat out wrong. And also many of us who feel very uncomfortable with it because it represents a federal control of the government education system. But I have to ask, is there something wrong with setting minimum standards for our children?
First of all, yes, the highest standard for the child generally is going to come from their own initiatives, not from someone else's. This is a philosophical point about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Always the best and highest will come from internal rather than external goods or motivations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's utterly and completely left beside by this by this initiative. And the other side of it is the historical argument. Since public compulsory education in our pluralistic society has increasingly been unable to reflect the deeper motivations for acquiring an education, to answer the big questions of life. Why am I here? What ought I do to my fellow human being? What is the good life? Is there a God and does he care about me? If we are unable to address these things in our education system, then the biggest force in human existence to find the motivation to do what's necessary, to volunteer,
mm-hmm.
to be philanthropic,
mm-hmm.
to acquire the ability to manipulate the world for good rather than evil,
mm-hmm.
to find a way to meet other human beings' needs. If these things cannot happen from an internal motivation, they certainly cannot happen from an external one.
Excellent point. I found in my studies that there is a lot of research into goal setting that really what sets one person apart from another, what allows one person to achieve where another person fails is oftentimes simply a matter that one person has different goals than the other person. And research will actually show that it doesn't matter who sets the goals, the person can still achieve higher with that goal, even if it's their parents setting it for them or their boss setting it for them within the construct of a business. But for truly effective goal achievement, the individual must have buy-in to that goal and must have the confidence and the tools necessary, basically what's called the self-efficacy, or the confidence to know that they can accomplish that goal. And I have found as a parent in the school system that it has been a little bit frustrating to not find many teachers who know how to inspire my children to want to learn. And what I'm hearing from you, I shouldn't expect that. But how do we get our children motivated to learn? How do we get them to want to achieve the goals or set their own goals?
I have to confess, coming from a fairly radical model myself, I'm not only a homeschooler, but also an unschooler. And what that means is that we've done very little in the way of imposed structures which were prefabricated or pre-regurgitated for our children. They have been able to discover things on their own and acquire an understanding of things based on their own methods of processing. It's my estimation, in a fairly radical context that we've been in, that if you don't kill the child's learning instinct, their desire to understand and encompass the world, both by absorbing information and also by practicing or imitating by virtue of play or imagination, if you don't get in the way of that mechanism, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start killing that mechanism, either by disconnecting truth from experience or by force feeding, or by denying what you are calling a good for them,
mm-hmm.
In the process of denying it in your own behavior or actions, or in those that you say you trust,
mm-hmm.
Then you create the disaster. And this disaster has been created en masse in public schooling because we are simply, by law, disallowed
mm-hmm.
from addressing certain critical issues. And therefore, the kids don't learn that that's something that you get the answer to in Sunday school. They learn that it's vastly unimportant
mm-hmm.
because the people in whom we trust their development spend more time with those children denying it by silence than all the rest of the efforts to reinstill that value, be it a religious value or a moral value or what have you. They are unable to overcome the message that 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, for most of their lives, they are not allowed by law to address whether or not this is a good.
Hmm.
It creates a meaninglessness that eliminates the desire, the motivation to understand, and simply finds other bases for living, typically those not based in truth or logic, but those based in feeling or what the group or the crowd is into. It really saps the motivation to get down to the root of something, and it forces kids to live on the surface.
All right. Thank you. This is Brent Duncan on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. We are talking with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. You can reach them at honested.net. And also for our participation, for our audience participation page, feel free to turn into freedom21santacruz.net/radio. And I'll be right back with Alan after these messages. This is Brent Duncan at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio.
Join your friends in freedom at the 5th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference at John Esquaga's Nugget Hotel in Reno, Nevada, this July 21st through 24th. You only have to put down a few dollars to get into this game, but you're virtually guaranteed a jackpot of great speakers and fun events. Here are just a few of the scheduled speakers. Congressman Ron Paul, the top defender of the Constitution in the House of Representatives. Judge Roy Moore, a champion of the principles upon which our nation was founded. Presidential candidates, Michael Perutka of the Constitutional Party, Gary Nolan of the Libertarian Party, and it's looking like there might be a surprise visit from a candidate from one of the major parties. But you're going to have to go to the conference registration website to find out more about that. Other notables include Helen Shenowith Haig, former congresswoman from Idaho and champion of the principles of freedom. Niger Innes, the national spokesman for the Congress of Racial Equality. Michael Kaufman, Tom DeWeese, Henry Lamb, Michael Chapman, Michael Shaw, Floyd Lilly, Sylvia Allen, Paul Dreesen, David Rothbart, and hey, look at that. They even have my name on the speaker list. Freedom 21 has asked me, Brent Duncan, to work with Michael Shaw to present a workshop on how to organize an effective freedom advocacy group in your community. Here's a tip. Individual initiative, local action, and national impact. Freedom 21 has negotiated a group discount with John Esquaga's Nugget for conference attendees, but I understand there's limited space available and that it's going fast. So act quickly if you want to join your friends in freedom at the 5th Annual Freedom 21 Conference in Reno this July 21st through 24th. For conference information, log on to www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio and select the Freedom 21 Conference button. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio and select Freedom 21 Conference. If you don't have web access, feel free to call Freedom 21 Santa Cruz at 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. Well, we sure hope to see you in Reno. Meanwhile, spread the word, advance the cause of freedom, and have a little fun.
You might be wondering if Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a liberal or a conservative organization. Are they left or right, Republican or Democrat? But you'll find that none of these one-dimensional labels applies to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, nor to many of its participants. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz dialogue doesn't take place in a left-right, liberal-conservative dialectic, but on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic.
To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Folks, things aren't what they seem. It's the American nightmare, the end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. Cause it's not about education, it's called behavior modification. Collectivist taught it, work in a public place. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age.
Welcome back. I'm Brent Duncan on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio, broadcasting from the studio of Radio Liberty, high above the Monterey Bay in California. If you would like to participate in tonight's show, you're welcome to call us at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-5423. You can also go to our audience participation page at freedom21santacruz.net/radio, where you will find where you will find links to many of the articles that we're referencing tonight and the research that we did to the did for this show. And we are now talking with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. And we're discussing, or we're considering, the question about whether we should pull our children from the government schools. And Alan, earlier we had made reference to minorities pulling their kids out of the government schools, secularists pulling their children out of the government schools. It seems to be that it's not a left or right or a conservative versus liberal issue. What do you think?
Absolutely not. All kinds of people are looking at these options. And they are as widely demographically spaced and as widely culturally spaced as they can be.
Yeah, one of the our listeners, if you haven't heard about it, this will probably in the next few weeks become an issue that you're going to be hearing about in the mainstream press, mainly because a gentleman by the name of T.C. Pinckney, a retired brigadier general with the Southern Baptist Convention, has actually submitted a resolution for consideration that asks all Baptists to pull their children out of the government schools. He essentially says that Christian parents are in denial about the dangers of public schools. He goes on to say that the government, quote, the issue is this: the government schools are killing our children morally, spiritually, and academically. The question we confront as Christian parents is, how dead do we want our children to be? And he goes on to say that he considers sending children to government schools as, quote, the grossest kind of sin, unquote. Pretty tough language. Actually, in fairness, that is a proposal that he has submitted to the Baptist Convention. It's important to us to understand that the Baptist Convention has not voted for that. I understand that they do have resolutions on schools on record, and that there's actually, I learned today, that there is a conflicting resolution, one that actually supports public schools, that has been submitted to the Baptist Convention. But anyway, even though that sounds a bit extreme and way radical, especially for those people who have their kids in the government schools, what do you think about what the Baptists are doing with this proposal?
Well, first of all, it's been a long time in development, and secondly, I believe it'll probably be a few go-arounds before we see it in some form or another actualized in the elective process for them.
Yeah, in response to that, I have there's an author by the name of Phil Valentine. He wrote a book called Right from the Heart: The ABCs of Reality in America. It's interesting, you know, when we bring up, say, one of these important issues, I think it's important for us to consider both sides of those issues so we understand how to address them. This gentleman thinks that, he actually says that abandoning public schools is not the Christian thing to do. He says that he doesn't think that the schools are failing, that his giving evidence that his son's fifth grade class receives certificates for averaging 90 or above for the school year. He doesn't think his school is failing. He goes on to say that he believes that Christians should be in the schools and fighting to change the schools from within. I'd like to hear what you have to think about this after we come back from these next message from these messages. You're listening to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. This is Brent Duncan, broadcasting on Radio Liberty. Broadcasting on Radio Liberty throughout the United States and on the internet throughout the world. Please join us in a few minutes after we come back from these messages. Thank you.
After spearheading efforts to implement the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda in Santa Cruz, California, Congressman Sam Farr wrote,
I am writing to congratulate you, the Advisory Board, and the Action Santa Cruz County Coalition for completing the local Agenda 21 Action Plan.
Congressman Sam Farr then wrote,
The local Agenda 21 Action Plan not only has local significance, it also will have regional and national impacts. As you know, the President's Council on Sustainable Development is beginning Phase 3 of its work, with an emphasis on sustainable communities.
Sam Farr continued,
I have been spearheading a similar effort to develop a process of sustainable development planning for the entire region.
So why does Sam Farr now say he's never heard of United Nations Agenda 21?
Yes, Congressman Farr, I'd like your my name's Daniel Beckett. I'd like your comments on the United Nations Agenda 21 program that you're implementing here. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you endorsed it, sir. I have your paperwork.
United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21. If there's nothing to hide, why does Sam now deny it? This has been a public service question posed by Freedom 21 Santa Cruz at freedom21santacruz.net, inviting you to advance the cause of freedom in the 21st century. For more information about how you can advance the cause of freedom, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. You might be wondering if Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a liberal or a conservative organization. Are they left or right, Republican or Democrat? But you'll find that none of these one-dimensional labels applies to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, nor to many of its participants. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz dialogue doesn't take place in a left-right, liberal-conservative dialectic, but on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic.
To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
about liquor and democracy, but don't believe the earth is dying, yes siree. Death and magic, indoctrination, please cooperate verbatim the interrogation. We hide the lens and what about your friends and your family?
Welcome back. This is Brent Duncan on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. We are talking with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. We are asking the question, or we're considering the question, should we be retaking our children out of the government school systems? And when we left, we were talking about an editorial by Phil Valentine, author of Right from the Heart, The ABCs of Reality in America, where he is trying to there's apparently some controversy within not only the Baptist but in the Christian community about conflicting resolutions on asking Christians to take their children out of schools. Mr. Pinckney says that there's nothing biblical behind his call to abandon the public schools, and says that the teachings of Christianity are to bear witness and be an example to Christians and non-Christians alike, and that the New Testament makes it clear that we are not to sequester ourselves and hide from the rest of society. What do you think of that,
Alan? I think that's quite correct. Essentially, what we're talking about here is the salt and light argument.
Mm-hmm.
I have several basic comments on it that are very brief. First of all, the salt and light argument essentially asserts that even if there are problems and it's secular and it is operating without any reference to God, that we need to be a presence there so that others will see Christians and come to believe. And my couple of questions about that are, what do we see happening? Do we see others coming to believe by virtue of Christian people participating in a secular system? I don't think that if you look at ministry overviews, there is a justification for children as missionaries on the basis of the results evangelistically. Secondly, the Nehemiah Institute has done extensive testing about worldviews in various institutions among, 13,000 students, I believe, over a 10-year span.
Mm-hmm.
And their results prove conclusively that kids, even if they go to church three or four Sundays a month, even if they go to youth group, if they are not engaged in an academic setting which promotes a distinctively Christian worldview, the likelihood that, and that means private or public, but public is just disastrous, the likelihood that they will get rid of the faith and no longer be church attendees between the ages of 18 and 25
mm-hmm.
is somewhere in 70%+ range. So the question is, can we sacrifice our children to that degree on the result that we expect a witness to the culture to be occurring by virtue of their presence there?
Mm-hmm.
The results on neither end justify that. And there's one further argument I need to put forward,
yes.
And that is, nowhere in the Bible is a child, an innocent, a person who is not done yet, put into a situation where they are the sole witness, or where the witness of God rests on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
There are very young people who are mature, and we see that in history. There are admirals of fleets at 12 years old. There are incredible feats done by young people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are still innocents, who aren't done yet, who do not have full judgment or full adult capability or full decision-making power. Those people are vulnerable, and those are not people who are ever asked to be in a ministry situation. In fact, they are protected from it in the New Testament. So those are three, I think, very salient arguments that the salt and light idea is fallacious and dangerous.
Okay. We have Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, are you with us?
Yep. Thanks, Jen, for calling back. Yeah, I want to agree that in two different fronts, one similar to what you mentioned as to why we should not abandon the government schools, and that is at the same time that we're either homeschooling or privately schooling our own children, we should stick our big fat noses in the affairs of the school boards and everything related to that local education, and trying to make it as locally funded and run as possible. And as D. James Kennedy put it some time back, would it not be derelict to send your tender, young, impressionable scion off to wage
war with a battle-hardened 40-year-old atheist in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, we have to recognize that almost all the government schools throughout the United States are overfunded, evidenced, and grossly so, evidenced by the fact that there's not a requisite for volunteers in the form of, say, those nosy grandmotherly types weaving in and out of the classrooms to ride herd on the social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I'm guessing both of you guys hopefully have read Gordon Clark's excellent book, A Christian Philosophy of Education.
I have not. Alan, have you?
No, I'm sorry.
A must read. God bless you all.
Okay, thank you very much, Roger. Interesting point that he brings up. Let's address this. This is from Dr. Foster. This is actually going back to the New York Times article that we were referring to earlier about the black flight to private schools is growing. And he points out that every family that manages to escape its neighborhood school leaves behind deepening problems for those who cannot escape. This Dr. Foster says that many of the most empowered parents and families are removing their children. What's left, he says, in even working class communities are schools filled with the least empowered families, families with the least parent involvement to offer, families with the least help with homework to offer. There's been a continual outflow of the minority community from public schools for the last 10 years, and it isn't stopping now, he says. So this is leaving there's a gaping hole that is being created in the government school systems because we're all leaving it and we're going to other options. Now, should we just turn our backs on the government school system?
Well, I beg to differ. We've been running at about 12% of the eligible age population not going to public school for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
There is a turn toward homeschooling, and private school is still strong, but by no means eroding the pool of people from which to draw involvement in the public education arena. So 88% of the population, and even if another 1% swelled the ranks of those who dissented from public education, I would have virtually no effect on what he's basically describing. Now, mm-hmm. that people are exiting bad schools simply means we have good parents.
Yes.
And every parent has a duty to protect their own children. That's their duty. No one else's, and no one can take it away from them if they will not hand it over.
Now, if we exit the government schools, what I found is when people who should do something or could do something turn their backs, they pull their kids out of the government schools and they just let things go unchecked, and it spirals, it gets worse. So there's of course and there's nobody there checking the teachers, and so you have a growing population of students whose parents aren't paying attention, who are basically abdicating their responsibilities to virtual strangers, or who agree politically and don't mind that their children are being indoctrinated according to whatever special interest is controlling that specific school. As taxpayers, should we be concerned about that? Should we, even if we don't have our children in the schools, should we be in there trying to make changes in the government schools?
The argument here basically is the argument that you're defending your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter-argument is a pretty simple one. They're not your dollars. They've been stolen from you. You have no control. As soon as you engage with those dollars, what happens is the control reverses. Rather than you controlling the system,
mm-hmm.
the system now controls you. Let me give you an example. In all of human history, schooling, this is a quote from John Taylor Gatto, schooling has always been considered something that was important, but never very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then it has always been something in the service of parents and kids to acquire an education. It did not actually supply the education. The child had to actually engage and get it.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly allowed the possibility or gave the tools. Now, parents are brought in on a volunteer basis to help the school and have become the servants of the school.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong here.
the control basis is shifted, and you cannot address that by going and defending your dollars because they're not yours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's best to just let them go. Now, I know there's an awkward interim period here where they have the dollars and you have the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have more people embrace that responsibility in order that eventually the system of drawing those dollars down from the broad base of people to educate a few and provide an entitlement program is eventually called wholly into question and eventually disappears. I don't know when that day might be, but I know that every parent who comes in contact with these concepts needs to address for themselves what they will do to be responsible in protecting their children and nurturing them to full maturity. And I am convinced that the best way to do that is outside the government system.
Yeah, and it comes down to that the question of to whom do the children belong? Who is primarily responsible for raising those children? Is it the parent? Is it the school? Is it the community? And I think you find different responses. A lot of the teachers in the government school system would like to consider that they are partners in raising your children. What do you think of that?
They are partners as soon as you accept their dollars. And that's the chicken and the egg question. If the dollars are yours, then you are a supplicant or a participant in the system. If the system does not and cannot reflect you and your needs and for your children, then those dollars have been stolen, and you cannot thereby go back and make those dollars a worthwhile pursuit to preserve or protect them or to guide them, because
mm-hmm.
you will instead be guided by them. As soon as the tentacle of control,
mm-hmm.
as soon as those dollars are something you're grasping for, this I hate to even mention the V word, but that's the fallacy of vouchers.
Ah.
The moment that you have a tentacle
mm-hmm.
of those dollars, the control comes with it, and no longer are you in control of what the dollars do for you. They instead are in control of what you will do. They have your children by virtue of contract.
Well, tell me about what do you think about tax vouchers or some of the proposals are tax vouchers that we get a check from the government and we use that to select whatever private school we want to send our kids to. There's also a proposal on the table for tax credits for parents who pay tuition for their kids to go to a school. Or there's even charter school options that are out there. Don't those help solve the problem?
In the end, it doesn't, because even if you can get a dollar that the government says has no tentacles to you, the place where you spend those dollars has tentacles from the government going to it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to assure that it's being used for a good school, otherwise they wouldn't be in control, would they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they go ahead and they control somebody. And if they are giving the appearance they're not controlling one party, then you can be jolly well sure they are controlling another. I've yet to see, and I haven't done as much research on this as Marshall, our president, but I have yet to see an example of a tax proposal which avoids the loopholes of control going back to the government who is feeding them,
mm-hmm.
feeding the dollars.
Yeah, so the bottom line is that tax vouchers, tax credits, the government money comes with strings. And that's an excellent point. So what you're proposing is that a parent with a child take complete responsibility for not only educating but paying for the education for their child?
Yes.
Okay. How realistic is that? There's a lot of people who just cannot afford that.
How do we handle
that in a society where not everybody has the money to pay for private schooling?
Well, there are several answers. For one thing, everybody can potentially engage in some level or another of saving their children from going into this disastrous system.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone can do that. Even if we grant that many can't, certainly most can. Let me give you a couple of examples. Many, many women who have gone back into the workforce have discovered that by the time they finish paying for their car, their gasoline, their tolls, their time, their clothes, their daycare, somebody else to help them, the meals out that they have to do because they don't have time to do all the cooking, the lunch money for the kids. By the time they finish with all those things, they have made very, very little money.
Mm-hmm.
And what did it pay for? It paid for something that they probably didn't need. If that mother were with those children, that is sufficient to outdo any government system that there is, because God put that mother in, above those children, and the government system has appointed themselves. It's a totally different order of relationship. And anytime that relationship can be fostered, it's good. Another example is homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
I ironically was volunteering for the Habitat for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ever discovered their qualifying figures, I was aghast, because here I was, a volunteer in the effort of providing affordable housing to underprivileged people, and by virtue of having four kids, I indeed was in the level where I could qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was getting along on one income with my wife at home and my four kids on a very cheap method of homeschooling, and we love it and wouldn't do otherwise. It does not necessarily mean that everybody has to part with $8,000 a year, by no means.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. There's a trend that I've been noticing. There's a massive marketing campaign that's happening here in California. I don't know if it's happening throughout other parts of the nation, but we have this organization called First Five. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Well, they're actually advertising. Oh, it's these wonderful commercials that say, you know, do you want to help child? Bottom line is, if you want your child to be happier, if you want them to get better grades, if you want them to get higher education, if you want them to be more productive citizens in society, what do you think that they would propose? They actually say, put them in daycare for the first 5 years of their life. That's what the whole thing is about. The bottom line is, these children will be better off being raised by strangers than by you. I'd like to hear, after we come back from these messages, what you think of that kind of a proposal. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. We are talking with Alan Schaefer from Honest Education. You can contact them at honested.net, and you're on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. Our audience participation page tonight is freedom21santacruz.net/radio, and we'll be right back with the end of the show.
And well class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're setting the bar real low. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. We gotta turn the page. Give them a real education. About history, about the republic or democracy, and they'll believe the earth is dying, yes siree. Got the magic indoctrination, peaceful while we're baiting the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family. Their bodies joining up with a gang, young sociopaths going out with a bang. They won't need a Bill of Rights or a Constitution, cause they're being set up just to be knocked down, clashing.
rooms full of convicts and clowns. Here's what your money brought you, soldiers for the revolution. Things aren't what they seem, it's the American nightmare, the end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters or slaves. Cause it's not about education, it's called behavior modification. Collectivist thought and work in the holy grail. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. Gotta turn the page. Give them a real education.
Welcome back to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. This is Brent Duncan. We are talking with Alan Schaefer. Excuse me, that was our caller. And we are considering the question whether we should pull our children out of the government education system. And when we left, we were talking a little bit about a current movement to convince parents that their children will be better off in daycare than at home with their mother and father. What do you think of it? Have you seen this at all, Alan?
I've never seen the commercial. I understand that it's a push.
Now, if there are parents who actually believe this, I'm pretty cynical. I start thinking, you know, if you're a parent who actually believes that, you probably don't deserve to have the kids. You might as well turn them over to somebody else. But that's a real cynical attitude. But what about, that brings up the question, what about irresponsible parents? Shouldn't there be some sort of a net to catch these kids who are basically ignored by their children or for whom children are an inconvenience?
Oh, boy. First of all, it has classically throughout history been the very best possible method of addressing people's failures if they face the consequences of their own actions. Having a child in your arms, in the first place, wanted or unwanted,
mm-hmm.
changes people. And I think that reality needs to be something that the people involved deal with rather than run from.
Mm-hmm.
Handing them over is not the solution. Even if you're talking about the small percentage at the bottom who are in some fashion dysfunctional or unable to take care of those children, you're still not producing a solution by promoting daycare on television.
Mm-hmm. So let's get down to the brass tacks here. What we've been talking about is whether we should pull our children out of the government school system. At Honest Education, you believe that we should am I correct in saying that you believe that we should basically dismantle the government education system?
Yes, starting with your own children.
How realistic is it to expect that the government will get out of the education business?
Go back to pre-Civil War and imagine the possibility that the slave trade would be diminished or eliminated in living memory. And you'll have some sense of what it might be like to see a paradigm shift of this measure in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go to other countries and see examples of education systems that have undergone radical reforms many times to their better.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen. When it will happen, I don't know. But I'm convinced that the direction we're going are converging lines. We have an escalating dissatisfaction with the system and a plummeting production of the system, and the two are going to collide one day with enough critical mass that people will begin to question the system at its roots.
Fascinating. Interesting stuff. So we are approaching the end of our show. I would like to give you the last or the next 60 seconds to just wrap up for us anything that you think we need to know and to give your organization a plug.
Oh, boy. Well, there's so much to learn. What I would most encourage anyone to do, if any of this has sparked any interest, is to please inquire. There is a tremendous amount of solid information that can produce the opportunity to address these questions with facts of history and with solid statistics so that you can understand for sure what you need to do with your kids. Please inquire.
All right. Thank you. This has been... tell us about your organization, how we can get a hold of you.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up. We are honesteducation.com.
Okay.
That's honesteducation.com, Honest Education, project of the Alliance for the Separation of School and State. We are located at 1071 North Fulton Avenue in Fresno, California, 93728. And I'm sure any of us would be delighted to talk to anyone who had questions following up from this broadcast. Please call.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. And we will...